In August, a cyber attack in Middletown had a major impact on city services. It's part of a larger pattern targeting local governments and public agencies across the country. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss what cities and businesses can learn and how a new Ohio law aims to help government officials prepare are Peter Kobach, an associate director at the University of Cincinnati's Ohio Cyber Range Institute, and Cincinnati Inquirer Breaking News reporter Matthew Capelli. Thank you both so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Matthew, let's start with Middletown. What do we know about this Middletown cyber attack that happened in mid-August? Was this a ransomware attack?
So the city has referred to it pretty exclusively as a cybersecurity incident. Experts said that it seems to be a ransomware attack. It seems to demonstrate the patterns of a ransomware attack. Particularly the main key there being how long it's taken city infrastructure to get back up and running again, being the main point.
I see. And if I know Middletown's not saying, yes, it was a ransom attack. Do we know if they paid any ransom? Do experts have any thoughts about what might have happened there?
No. Middletown officials have been very understandably tight-lipped about specifics of the attack. The only expert who I was able to speak with who was familiar with it was Governor Mike DeWine's cybersecurity expert, who spoke to ransomware attacks broadly but didn't understand specifics of this case.
Okay. Peter, how often are cities and government agencies victims of attacks?
Yeah, this can happen as often as daily in Ohio and across the country.
Daily, wow.
And it impacts smallest local governments to the largest ones. There's public information about the largest cities in Ohio suffering incidents, as well as small townships with just a handful of employees and a few thousand residents. So there's no escaping the possibility of a cyber attack impacting the local government where you might live.
Yeah. And I understand that smaller and medium-sized cities can be more attractive targets. Is that right, Peter? And if so, why is that?
You know, I can't speak to, what attracts organized crime to one type of local government or another.
Good answer. You're not in on it, so that's right.
But we know that in Ohio, local governments who have been targeted are being targeted by organized crime from adversarial nation states across the world. Sometimes it's to simply raise funds because they know that if they can be successful in the attack, they raise money. But we've seen how our adversaries abroad also skirt sanctions and other international regulations and restrictions by going after funds that are held by American taxpayers, by their local governments.
Well, let me ask you this, Peter. I know we don't know for certain that this was a ransomware attack in Middletown. It sounds like those are pretty common cyber attacks. I read that it can cost local governments much more to rebuild after an attack than the amount the hackers demand in a ransomware attack. So do you ever advise people or do you ever hear people get advice, just pay the money? Or what are some of the complications involved in deciding whether to pay or not to pay?
Yeah, we never encourage paying a ransom, and neither does nearly any law enforcement agency that you might ask. You can be better prepared in that situation by taking certain steps to back up and have copies of your system so that rebuilding isn't necessarily from square one, but you're actually prepared to rebuild in a case like this. That being said, there are cases in Ohio and across the country where when the political body is faced with that decision of rebuilding or paying the ransom, they've come to that decision of paying the ransom. And I go across the state and we meet with local governments, small and large, and they often say, you know, we would never pay a ransom. And then I ask them to put themselves in the shoes of their peers who maybe have similar education, similar responsibility, who have come to a different conclusion. So definitely the pressure can be immense when you're facing the possibility that your core services are being disrupted by an attack. And supposedly, if you pay a certain amount, that problem could go away. Now, once again, you're working with organized criminals, and there's no guarantee that if you pay a ransom that you have access to your systems again. And you also don't know what might have happened to the data that they locked down. So if you're a city or a county and you're facing a ransomware attack, you might pay the ransom and you might get access to your services again. However, you don't know if the data of your residents and your employees might be still on the dark web or being resold or reused.
Mm. Yeah, I guess organized crime, they don't always keep their promises.
That's right.
When they say they'll do something if you pay the money. Well, I'll come back to you, Peter, to talk about preparedness and those sorts of questions. But Matthew, let's get back to Middletown. What kind of impact has this attack had on Middletown? What is the city still struggling with?
It's been a pretty sprawling impact. It immediately took phone lines offline, city service, random facets of the city. The biggest impact and continued impact that it's had has been on the utility payment system. So for whatever reason, just because of the way that the city is structured and organized, residents, the city has not been able to generate new utility payments for residents. But it's still been encouraging residents to continue to pay for their utilities. However, the residents who I spoke with haven't known exactly how much to pay. So the city has instructed its residents to go to the actual city building where those terminals, for whatever reason, still are able to process payments and pay traditionally the amount that they have owed in the past, just so that residents don't fall behind on their payments. But initially, when the hack first happened, it closed the city building entirely for a few days, impacting a broad swath of services, everything from record administration to funding prisoners' commissary accounts.
Wow. And right now it's like, you know, you got a water bill because you get one regularly. You don't know exactly how much it is. You just have to kind of guess based on your previous water bills.
Yeah. And one of the residents who I met at the city building who was paying in person said that he was just keeping his physical paper receipts to make sure that he had a paper trail. And he was interested in also getting a permit to put up a fence, but he isn't sure, given the complications with the city, what other systems might have been impacted, and decided it might be best to wait a few months to follow up on that.
Yeah, that sounds smart. Well, we are talking about cyber attacks on local governments and public agencies and how a new Ohio law aims to help government officials prepare. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So Matthew, what else did you hear from residents? Did they talk about other ways that this whole thing has affected their lives and their interactions with the city?
There was a lot of chatter online, especially from residents who were moving to Middletown for the first time, who might not have routine utility payments set up yet, but who are perhaps, you know, relocating to a new address and have to set up utility payments for the first time, just having a very difficult process, especially transferring utilities. But the primary cause of frustration from residents who I spoke with was the utility system, especially given how long that the difficulties have continued on for, given that this initial cybersecurity incident occurred in mid-August.
Sure. Yeah. So it's been a couple months now and they're still having trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Peter, let's get back to that. To some of these preparedness questions. If you're a local government, you're the victim of a ransomware attack, you said you all don't advise to pay paying the ransom. Local law enforcement never advises paying the ransom. So what is the answer in the event of an attack? How do you get that data back?
Sure. So the thing that the state of Ohio advises is that in the case of a cyber incident, the first thing that you would do at your local government is reach out to the Statewide Terrorism Analysis and Crime Center. And their number is 844-55-STACC. So you can remember it a little easier. So it's 844-55-STACC. And the reason you'd call there is so that they can either marshal resources or let you know if they've seen a similar pattern in another place, or potentially warn other local governments that could be subject to a similar incident. There's also a volunteer militia run by the Adjutant General's Department in Ohio. It's called the Ohio Cyber Reserve, and they can be called upon to actually provide hands-on keyboard assistance to a local government that's going through an attack. Those are the things that you would do if it's already happening and it's kind of too late to prepare for it. But we at the Ohio Cyber Range Institute have a comprehensive training program for local governments to prevent them from hopefully ever getting to that point. And if it were to happen or when it happens, that they're as prepared and as resilient as possible.
I'm really interested in this. You said that it's basically an IT reserve? Like
that's
IT
right.
Experts are on call and they'll just kind of, you know, I mean, like it's a Western, get on their horses and race to the scene and help out because they're the experts. Is that how it works?
Yeah, this is really unique to Ohio. Not many states have something like this, but it's essentially a reserve of civilian employees. Some of them work for state agencies, local governments, the private sector, and they've gone through training and a background check and are on a reserve in case of a cyber incident. So when it happens, they're scattered throughout the state. They have teams and they'll show up and help. And folks who might be interested hearing this, who would want to serve their communities, can go and volunteer with the Ohio Cyber Reserve. It's a very intensive application and selection process. So you really have to have experience in IT and cybersecurity. But you can go to ohcr.ohio.gov and learn more about how to apply, or if you work for a local government, to know more about them if you need to call them in to assist in the case of an incident.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We will continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, the Fountain Square Ice Rink is moving off the square. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about cyber attacks on local governments and public agencies. My guests are Peter Kobach, an associate director at the University of Cincinnati's Ohio Cyber Range Institute, and Cincinnati Inquirer breaking news reporter Matthew Capelli. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Peter, we referenced a couple times in the earlier part of our conversation the fact that Governor Mike DeWine signed a new law. He signed this in July that requires local governments to implement cybersecurity training. Tell us about that law. What kinds of things it requires local governments to do?
Yeah, so the law, sometimes referred to as HB 96, it states that the Auditor of State of Ohio will be conducting audits of local governments, actually political subdivisions is the language in the text, and to see if they have a cybersecurity program in place. It then lists a number of items that may make up a cybersecurity program, including cybersecurity training. It also lists in the law the name of the cybersecurity training that we offer at the Ohio Cyber Range Institute, and that's called Ohio Persistent Cyber Improvement. But really, the auditor, as best as we can tell, is going to be seeing if they have something in place. There's no one-size-fits-all program because you've got townships with a handful of part-time employees to cities that have thousands of employees, counties that have tens of thousands of employees. So the auditor is going to see, you know, do you have something that's appropriate for you?
And is there a deadline for jurisdictions to have this training in place?
That's right. So there's a deadline for January 1st for cities and counties, and then other political subdivisions have a little more time. They have to have something in place by July. But I should note that from our perspective, and I can't speak on, you know, what will make a local government compliant. I'm one, not a lawyer, and two, I don't work for the auditor. Yeah. it's a work in progress. It's something that you practice over time and work on over time. There's no way for a local government to take a week or a month and create a lasting cybersecurity program that doesn't change year after year. I'm sure listeners and us here in this room have gotten texts that look different today than they did the emails that we received from princes abroad years ago. So cybersecurity is an ever-evolving landscape, and a cybersecurity program has to be ever-evolving as well.
Sure, because you can never anticipate what tricks these different criminals are going to use to try to try to fool people. Peter, I know you said you've been helping to provide that training around the state. I guess I wonder, what kind of range of preparedness do you see among these political subdivisions? Are some kind of sitting ducks while others are very prepared or and, you know, have already thought about this?
Local governments face a lot of challenges in preparing when it comes to cybersecurity. There's a lot of demand for cybersecurity jobs that's unfilled, not only in Ohio, but across the country. And oftentimes the private sector can pay higher salaries. So local governments are squeezed. We know that they do a lot on a small budget. And oftentimes if a cyber incident hasn't occurred, then it's difficult for the political body to make the decision to prioritize it. So we see a range, and often it does depend on if they've seen something happen in their backyard or not, or if they have a champion inside. The training that we provide called Ohio Persistent Cyber Improvement can meet them wherever they're at along that spectrum, though. So if they have nothing in place, that's perfectly fine. We'll start from ground zero. If they have an advanced program in place, we have parts of our training that help them identify where might there be gaps or practice some of those plans and policies that they've developed to see does the theory play out in practice as well.
Am I correct that you also have training that's almost like a first aid kit kind of training? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So our main training is called Ohio Persistent Cyber Improvement. It's a whole of organization training, and that differentiates amongst the roles in a local government. So what y'all might be most familiar with, your cybersecurity awareness training at your work, where you log in once a year, it tells you not to click links or whatnot. Ours is different than that insofar as we have different training for the technical folks, the leaders of the organization. They're creating policies and plans. We're actually practicing those through in-person or virtual exercises. That brings an entire organization on board. Every employee is getting something that's tailored to them. If for whatever reason a local government feels that they can't make that whole of organization commitment, we've created what we call a first aid kit, like you just mentioned. It's the Cyber Frontline First Aid Kit. And folks can find that on our website. They can register for it. And that enables a single person at an organization to get the ball rolling and then hopefully build that buy-in to get the city council, the mayor, the county commissioners to say, yeah, we need to have training for our whole organization. Mm.
Peter, what makes a city or a business an easy target for these attacks? I mean, I don't want you to tell the criminals who to go after. That's not what I'm getting at. But are there things these organizations have in common?
I can't say that there's necessarily anything, red flags. I do think that the more unprepared you are, the more likely you are to face severe repercussions from an attack. So the cyber criminals are very smart and very good at finding vulnerabilities, and they'll go after local governments that have those vulnerabilities, and they'll be stymied when local governments have adequate protections and plans in place to prevent them.
Well, Matthew, I know Peter said earlier in the conversation that these attacks can be happening daily in Ohio, around the country. Do we have any idea how many local governments in Ohio have been victims of cyber attacks? Is this anything the state's been able to kind of track?
And that's such an important question that the state is soon going to be able to answer more appropriately. Part of the law, like you were talking about, Peter, now requires that when an agency, any local municipality, experiences one of these cybersecurity attacks, it must be reported to the auditor's office. So the experts who I spoke with said that in about 3 to 5 years, they're going to be able to draw some more definitive and useful conclusions about, you know, where certain attacks are happening, what type of attacks hackers are employing to be able to prevent that. But from right now, most of our understanding of when these hacks are occurring is just anecdotal from when local organizations have reported them. So we have a sense, and we can say that from our reporting, going back to toward the end of 2023, there have been a handful of attacks in Southwest Ohio, at least, that have generated over $2 million worth of losses from organizations that have erroneously believed that somebody within their network was actually off asking them to, you know, pay a client a certain amount of money, when in reality it was actually, you know, a malicious actor.
Mm. Are those, those are kind of phishing schemes, aren't they, Peter? Is that what that is?
That's right.
That's
yeah.
called?
Yeah. And that's Matthew did a great job of recounting those in the article he wrote for the Enquirer. And the unfortunate reality is that there's far more attacks that are either unreported or ransomware attacks that almost definitely have cost Ohio taxpayers multitude more than we're able to know with public information. So this is definitely a drain on taxpayer funds.
Yeah. Peter, how much work is it for local governments to undertake this training and to get prepared? I mean, you mentioned the training that your organization provides is free. So
that's right.
But there is the commitment of the time of employees when they could be, you know, working on other things, that just the resources they involve. How much of a commitment is it?
So our training ranges from about 45 minutes to maybe 10 hours, depending on the type of employee that's going through it. The mindset shift that our training is working towards is taking it from simply a IT problem to a whole of organization problem. As Matthew mentioned, that those phishing attacks are often a leader in an organization being misled by a malicious actor. So that's not the IT director who was the victim of the attack. It might have been the council person. It might have been the head of HR, the treasurer. So it really takes the whole organization. And I'll put it this way, the IT department or the cybersecurity folks are there to protect the data, but it's still the coroner, the sheriff, the engineer who owns the data. So our training brings them into the conversation and asks, what's critical to the functioning of your department? What are your mission essential functions? And how does your IT department help you protect them? That mindset shift can sometimes take months or a year, but that's what we believe will create the most resilient organization against a cyber incident. Mm.
Matthew, there are, of course, these financial implications and data breaches with these attacks, but they can also erode public trust. How big of an issue did you get the sense that is in Middletown in terms of residents there and the local government? Is there a worry now that now that residents are aware this cyber attack happened?
I wish I could speak more to that. I can reiterate the chatter that I've seen online in especially Facebook groups for the Middletown community. The residents who I spoke with only gave me the sense that they were particularly frustrated about their lack of ability to pay for their utilities. I didn't get the sense too much from speaking to those handful of people that they had a greater doubt in you know, the city. But I can definitely say that many people online have been voicing concerns about their trust in the city as a result of this.
Is that something, Peter, that you all talk to local governments about, that it's not just the money, it's not just the data, that it's that kind of that relationship between a government and the people that it's there to serve?
Definitely. You wouldn't be surprised to hear that the IT director is often, you know, locked into the idea of bringing more training to the organization. But sometimes there are folks who are a little hesitant or don't see the priority. But there's an example of a cyber incident in Ohio where this was also a spear phishing campaign. Over $1 million was sent to the wrong bank account, to the criminal bank account. And that local government also was planning to put a referendum on the ballot to raise funds for capital construction. And so you can imagine the kind of story that residents are then hearing, the government asking for money while simultaneously sharing that it's sending their taxpayer dollars to another location. So for those political heads, political representatives, it may be difficult to achieve some of your other goals if the story, the headlines in the paper are that or on the radio, are that you just lost millions of dollars or sensitive information about your residents.
Yeah, that's quite the cautionary tale. I bet that perks people's ears up when you tell them that during your training.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this has been fascinating. I've been talking with Peter Kobach, an associate director at the University of Cincinnati's Ohio Cyber Range Institute, and Cincinnati Inquirer breaking news reporter Matthew Capelli. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
My pleasure.
Up next, heading downtown over the holidays, we'll tell you where to find the ice rink. This is Cincinnati Edition.